We continue the Shiur in Gemara. We began this topic last week, in which we stated the Gemara says that a goy that strikes a Jew is chayiv misa, not who kills. One who kills, of course, gets a death penalty regardless of what religion he is or whom he kills. But in this case, it means just striking. Striking means even one who slaps. If a goy slaps a Jew, the penalty for it is death. And we find this in a pasuk, the Torah, where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, after he returned, he was in the palace, decided to go out and to see the suffering of his brothers, the Jews. He came and he saw an Egyptian striking a Jew. The pasuk says, let's study this pasuk carefully. Vayifen koi v'choi, he turned here and there. Koi v'choi, here and there. Vayar ki ein ish, he saw there was no man. Vayach es hamitzri, he struck the Egyptian, meaning he killed him. Vayitmenehu v'choil, he buried him, he hid him in the sand. He hid his body in the sand. These are the words of the pasuk. Now, according to this pasuk, let's take first pshat. Pshat means simple translation. Simple translation means that Moshe Rabbeinu saw a goy, an Egyptian, which is a goy, any goy, no matter what country he's from, a goy striking a Jew, and he fulfilled the penalty. Penalty for striking a Jew, the part of a goy is death, and so Moshe Rabbeinu killed him. With this pasuk we see proof that Moshe Rabbeinu surely lived up to the law, he surely obeyed the law to the letter, since he killed this Egyptian. It shows proof that the penalty for striking a Jew is death. Now to go a little deeper, in a few items, momentarily. The Arizal says, we'll take the statements by the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal sort of exclusively, because that's the topic we'd like to dwell on a little deeper. Arizal says that, in a sense, there was no trial. So though Moshe Rabbeinu was justified according to this din, yet, in actuality, you cannot take a goy and literally murder him for striking a Jew, though he does deserve a death penalty. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to fulfill this law exactly as written, so he could not be blamed for killing this Egyptian. At the same time, it was comparable to, at worst, a shogeg, killing him accidentally, unintentionally. It was done with intent, but the murder part was not, so it was dime, was similar to shogeg. This, the Arizal says, is hidden in the words that when you speak about the Orei Miklot, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to build the cities of refuge, if a person kills someone unintentionally, by accident, and then he may save himself from his pursuers, those who want to avenge the victim. He may save himself by fleeing to these Orei Miklot, the cities of refuge. Now, on this topic, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should make these Orei Miklot, Asher Yonos Shama Reitzeach, where there should flee one who kills accidentally. Arizal says that the first sentence there, Hashem hinted at this point, Asher Yonos Shama. Shama's letters Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu shall, by building it, these cities, it will cover for him as though he fled to these cities to cover his act in killing this Egyptian. Again, of course, there was nothing wrong in doing it. This is only taken from a technical point, because remember, for one thing, the Egyptian deserved death. The second case, of course, Pashtius, it was a question of self-defense. He was rescuing the Jew from his hand. But of course, we come to the next point, we do not find the weapon that was used. What did Moshe Rabbeinu use as a weapon in killing the Egyptian? So we have two statements. One of the Zayin HaKadosh says, the Pasuk says, Vayifen Koy V'Choy, he turned here and there, and he struck the Egyptian. Zayin HaKadosh says it means that he struck the Egyptian with this weapon, Koy V'Choy. Koy is 25, V'Choy, and again 25. This refers to the letters of Shema Yisrael, 25 letters of Shema Yisrael. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is so potent, so powerful, that a person, by saying Kriya Shema with Kavona, can actually destroy his enemies. And we say that a person who has enemies, what should he do about them? Yashkim Odon Lebeis HaMedrash. Get up early and go to shul. How is that going to kill your enemies? The answer is, where do you find Hashkama? Where do you find that there's a requirement to get up early? For what? For Zman Kriya Shema. The time of Kriya Shema requires that it be said before a certain time, meaning it be said early. Kriya Shema is 25 letters. Shema Yisrael in the morning, 25 letters for the Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Pamayim Be'avod is said. This is what's meant with the Koyach of the Kriya Shema. Vayifen Koy V'Choy. With this Koyach, he killed the Egyptian, just by saying the Kriya Shema alone. Now, we once mentioned, this is a very, very hidden statement, and yet, perhaps it should be publicized. The Rizal reveals something which is, we'd say, priceless information. This, of course, refers to men only. Speaking about Tikkun HaBris, Rabbeinu Zal issued a declaration, a revelation, something which was worked on, struggled on, by all tzaddikim since the beginning of time. Odom Harishon on worked, struggled to discover the secret 10 chapters of Tehillim, known as the Tikkun HaKloli, that could serve as a tikkun, that could rectify one of the worst possible sins, Chilul HaBris. This, finally, Rabbeinu Zal solved this problem by discovering and revealing these 10 chapters of the Psalms of King David and Tehillim, which when said, served as a tikkun. Tikkun HaKloli means that the sin is forgiven. So love this means that the Zera is wasted, Zera Levatola, Chas V'Sholom. The sin is erased by saying these 10 chapters of Tehillim. However, this sin also, it is known, creates Mazikim. It creates, Chas V'Sholom, a Zera, live, spiritual, Mechablim, Chas V'Sholom. Evil spirits are born, created through this. Those must be destroyed, even if the sin is erased. How is that destroyed? The Arizal says there is nothing that can destroy that except the Kriya Shema Al Hamito. Kriya Shema that is said at night before going to sleep, when that is said with Kavona, with solid Kavona, concentration, that's the only thing that can literally erase, destroy these worst spiritual enemies. So we see the Kayach, the power of Kriya Shema, these 25 letters, these 25 all-powerful letters of Shema Yisrael. This is, too, the Zayin HaKadosh says what King David used in his battle against the giant Goliath. It says he took five stones, smooth stones, min hanachal. The nachal means from the stream. This nachal, of course, is nachal nevei kachachma. He is said. Benazal is known as the Nachal Neveah. He took these five smooth stones and his slingshot container for the five stones. Zayin HaKadosh says he killed with these stones. How can these stones kill a giant? When can a slingshot have that much power? The answer is again, as Zayin HaKadosh says, the power is in these words of Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, is five words. Those are the five stones that are referred to. Echad covers all. All this is Echad. Hashem is one, that was the slingshot, the container for the five stones. So that there too, David HaMelech disposed of, erased, destroyed, this arch enemy of the Jews, Goliath, with these words of the Kriya Shema. And to go a step further, Arizal says that actually there is a special Shem, Shem Kodesh. Among the Shem Ayin Beis, now this is not Kabbalah, so if anybody listens to these words and accuses this of Kabbalah, he is very wrong. This is a Gemara in Sukkah. Rashi Kodesh Tosfos bring this in the Gemara there, discussing this Shem Ayin Beis. And of course, the Gemara, you cannot accuse the Gemara of speaking words of Kabbalah. So there, Rashi Kodesh brings this Shem Ayin Beis, that means a combination of 72 names of Hashem. Each one of these 72 names contains three letters, a total of 216 letters. This 216, of course, 72, Begimatria Chesed, 216 letters, Begimatria Gevura, a combination of the 72 and 216, Chesed and Gevura, you have a combination of Ibur. Ibur is Teferis. That's why it's Vayavod Hashem Pona Vayikra. Vayavod is the Osius Ibur. Hashem passed by Moshe Rabbeinu, revealed to him this combination. In any event, back to this Shem Ayin Beis, as is brought in Rashi HaKodesh, the Gemara Sukkah, says that this Shem Ayin Beis contain the highest 72 names of Hashem. One of them, the eighth name, is the letters, three letters, Kof, He, Tof, Rosh Tevis Av, Koil, and Neshama to Halel, or use in any way. These three letters also, Tof, Chof, He. Tof, Chof, He. This Shem, each one of these names is used for a special purpose. It has a special potency and can perform supernatural acts. One who has the power to do it, big enough tzaddik. Using this Shem, this name of Hashem, by saying this name, just saying it alone, a tzaddik can kill an enemy with it. So the Arizal says that this is the word that Moshe Rabbeinu used to kill this Egyptian. When he saw the Egyptian striking this Jew, he did not strike him with a weapon. He just said this word, Tof Chof Hei, this name of Hashem. With this, the Egyptian fell dead, just by saying this name. To prove this, we see that the subsequent sentence says, Arizal shows us proof, not that we need proof, of course. Next sentence says that the next day, after this incident, Moshe went out to the fields, and he saw, this time, two Jews arguing, Dustin Avidan, battling between themselves. And he saw one Jew about to strike the other. He raised his hand to strike the other. He did not strike him yet, but he said to him, Russia. Russia means not the country Russia. Of course, they too are. They call Russia because Russia means evil, wicked. Nothing more evil than Russia. The Hebrew word Russia means evil one, wicked one. Lomo sakere echa. Why do you strike your friend? Lomo sake. Why do you strike your friend? The Gemara says from this sentence we learned, by the way, that if a Jew raises his hand to strike another Jew, just raises, he does not strike him yet. He's going to strike him. He already is considered, branded by the Torah as a Russia. Because sake means, why will you strike your friend? Not why did you. He just raised his hand to do it, and already he's branded as a Russia. And therefore we find, again, by the way, we're straying from the topic for a moment. We find that just as there is a law in the Torah mentioned twice, lay signa, do not steal. You might ask, why does it say twice? Do not steal. Once, do not steal seriously, actually steal. You're committing a sin. The second one, lay signa, do not steal, even without intention of stealing, just to tease your friend. Take the money from him, tease him into thinking he's lost it. Stealing it for the sake of a joke is exactly the same sin as actually stealing it. Doesn't mean if you took it, you might as well keep it, of course. For the same sin, you might as well keep it. It means just don't do that in the first place. Do not steal even for a joke. The same thing here, Loma Sakya, you raise your hand to strike a Jew, a friend, that is already committing a sin as though you actually struck him, as though there was actually damage done. And therefore, even to strike one, not seriously, even for a joke, that too is sinful. If you want to strike somebody, there are plenty of goyim, plenty of shoyim, give vent to your anger there, to Seine Yisrael, enemies. But to a Jew, to a friend, it is definitely wrong to strike one, even playfully. And that is why, for example, there are some fathers and children, a father wants to teach his child the art of self-defense. This is the greatest tragic error possible, because the Torah states emphatically that if a child strikes a father, just strikes him, there already is a death penalty for it. So strict is the honor of a parent. But here, to strike a Jew, even in a joke, in jest, even if his name is, whatever his name is, still, it is absolutely a wrong deed, and one must only remind himself of the message Rabbi Shimon Yochai said to his students, that we are different than Rabbi Akiva's students. They did not show the harmony among themselves. There was no mutual harmony. This is all give and no take. Here, everyone gives, no one takes back. The one person receives, that's wrong. Shimon Yochai taught that there should be no wrong actions done, in words even, raising one's hand, even a jest that is wrong. There should be only ahava v'achva in a group, and only then can that group be assured of a solid foundation and a permanent future. The nitzchius of a group depends upon the ahava v'achva, the unity, the being bound into one. Now back to this point, we said that raising one's hand to strike, just to raise his hand is already considered a rasha. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to one of these two, rasha lama sakir eicha, why do you strike your friend? And what is the next word, the pasuk? And this evil person said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you think I did not see you kill that Egyptian yesterday? You think that nobody witnessed it? I saw it. Halahar geni ata omer, are you planning to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Rizal says, note the words, Halahar geni ata omer, doesn't say ata choshev, are you planning to, or will you kill me? Halgeni ata omer, are you saying to kill me? Are you saying what? The words you just said, Rosho lama sake, use the word sake, tof chof hey is sake, are you saying that Lahargeni to kill me just as you killed the Egyptian with that word? Which means I was there. I heard you say this word. I know you killed Egyptian with this word. This pasuk, of course, if you read the pasuk regularly, you won't see this, but the Nizal reveals all this in the words of that pasuk. So we see proof that the Shem, this eighth one of Hashem's names, the Shem Ayin Beis, Shem Tav Chav He, is the word with which a person can kill. A tzaddik, that is, can kill. This is the Shem that Moshe Rabbeinu used to kill the Egyptian. Now, by the way, we never brought this out before, though we did mention this fact. We mentioned in reference to the story of Rabbi Akiva, which we'll discuss once more now. First, to reveal this point, what is so special about this Shem, this word? Why is this word, what is the secret of these letters? This we never brought out before. Even those who are Bekiyim, Chachamim, Devayim can learn something now. Rizal says, why is this word so special? The Shem Tav Chav He, that this has power to kill. It's the name of Hashem. And how does this show the name of Hashem? The answer is that in the names of Hashem that we know, these 72 names are all hidden forms. The names of Hashem we know. We know that Hashem is Chesed, Kim is Din, Aleph Dalad is Din. There is a name, Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud. This name translated means the Almighty. Shin Dalad Yud, the Almighty, powerful. This name is the Mighty. This is the name of Koyach, power. The power that destroys. Shakai is the power, the all-powerful, the mighty who destroys. The name Shakai, there is, that's the revealed name, the Nigla. The hidden one is called the Ponim Shel Shakai. The Ponim means forward, in front of it. The Mesach, the curtain that hides it. What is in front of Shakai? Ahead, moving forward. Moving ahead, you have Shakai Shin Yud Dalet. Shin, moving forward, one letter becomes Tof. The Yud, moving one letter ahead, becomes Chof. The Dalet becomes He. So you have Tof, Chof, He. That's the secret in this name. This name is the powerful one, hidden name. One who knows that secret, he must also be a great tzaddik, because a regular person can say it all day, get nothing for his effort. The great tzaddik using this name can use it, employ it, for the sake of destruction of an enemy. Now this we find too, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was at the burning thorn bush, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, know that this, in this lies the power. V'zeh lecho ha'ois. This is the sign, last letters, the Yoshua Tavis, v'zeh lecho ha'ois, this sign. Know that this is a future. In the future too, you'll have this sign to use this as a destructive power against enemies. The Nizal says, where do we find this in the future? We know that there is gum. Zayin HaKadosh brings gam, zeh, the gam is also the geula, three geulois, geulas Moshe from Mitzrayim, geulas Mordechai from Haman, and geulas Mashiach from the final geula. It means there is a direct connection between the two. Zeh lecho ha'ois, the next geula. The Rizal says, Vatikra Esther lahasoch. She called to the angel Hasoch, go, angel, bring Mordechai, save the Jews. What is Hasoch? Hasoch is again the hidden words. Who is this angel? This angel is the Shem Kodesh of Tov Chof Hei, which was used then in the Gulas Mordechai, also to destroy the enemy at that time, Haman. Now, this was all superficial. Now we'll go a little bit deeper into this. Just stay awake. This is the part that we reveal with trepidation. We've mentioned this many times to classes in Eretz Yisrael. We'd like to hide it here, but the Zayin HaKadosh says that when the time comes, closer to Mashiach's coming, then even children will learn secrets of the Torah. So, ready children for these words. Zayin HaKadosh tells us that what happened here, what's this whole story? Let's look at it in a more realistic sense. Moshe Rabbeinu came out in the fields. He saw an Egyptian striking a Jew, and he knew what the Egyptian did, Babayasu Basoda, in a house and in a field, and so he destroyed him. There's more than meets the eye. Zayin HaKadosh says, if we know the background, we'll understand this. This was the result of a long ago story. When Adam HaRishon first gave birth to his first children, he had two children first, that was Cain and a sister. Cain and his twin sister were the first. That was a twin, was the first birth. And then Chava gave birth to a triplet afterwards, Hevel and two twin sisters. Because of the additional twin sister that Hevel had, Cain was jealous. He killed Hevel. Because of this, Hashem said, Shevasayim, you come Cain. The Kayan will be, Kayan will be punished 7 generations later. He'll pay for this murder by being killed 7 generations later. 7 generations later he was killed. Not only he was killed, but in the time of the flood, because he had wiped out Hevel. Wiped out means Hevel, his future children and so forth, completely erased. Therefore, in the time of the flood, Kayan's descendants were also wiped out completely. Who was left to carry on the world? The third son of Adam, whose name was Shais. Noach came from Shais. Therefore, he was called Shais. Why? The Gemara says, Shemenu Hushtas Olam. The foundation of the world continued through Shais. Shais means the foundation, because from him came forth the whole world. Everyone we have today is from Shais. Not exactly. Sayyidi Kodesh is not exactly, because it is true that all those born normally would come from Sheis. But there are Gilgulim. Gilgulim means reincarnation. People born are those who lived before. So Hevel and Kayin were not really wiped out. They were reborn in later generations. They came back again. You cannot erase one and then Shema. They were reborn, they came back to earth in different forms. Why do they come back to earth? Why does one come back to earth as a Gilgul? To be misaken, to correct any shortcomings, any faults, any wrongs he had done prior to this. In the case of Kayin, though he did tshuva, he had repented, though he had been killed for his sin, still there was an evil within him that had to come out. The evil had to come out in the form of being destroyed and allow only the good to remain. So the Zohar Kodesh says that Kayin came back in two forms. A person could go back and have his soul divided. The good and the bad of the soul divided into two parts. So Kayin came back, one part of him, the good, Toiv Shebi Kayin, came back as Yisro. Yisro, recall, had seven names. One of the seven names was Kayini. Kayin with a Yud added to it. The Yud shows Chachma, wisdom. It's the good part of Kayin. He came back as Yisro. There it came back fine. This was Akim. It was perfect. That's why the hint that Izal says, Shivasayim, you come Kayin. Kayin will have a Tikuma, will rise up, solidly Shivasayim, by one who will be known as seven. Yisro was known as the seven names of Yisro. The father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, they'll have his perfection, his correction. Because, what was Kayin's crime? He stole, he killed. Why did he kill? Because he stole the wife of Hevel, the twin sister, which was, they were destined to marry their sisters then. So he actually stole the sister or wife of Hevel. He had to return it. That's why Yisro came back now to return in his new life, the wife, the sister he had stolen. Returned to whom? To the one he had stolen it from, to Hevel. Hevel returned to earth, was reborn as Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the name Moshe Rabbeinu comes from, what is the origin of it? The origin, because it was the three lives of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was first Hevel, reborn as Shem, the son of Noach, and then as Moshe Rabbeinu. You have Mem Shin Hei, the three lives of Moshe Rabbeinu. And at this time, this act had to be completely fulfilled, corrected. And that's why the Zohar Kodesh says that Izal says that when the Pasuk says that Yisro gave Tzipora, his daughter, to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was returning the article he had stolen. Because Tzipora belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, she was the original twin sister of Hevel, she belonged to Hevel. That means that she belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu originally. That's why Tzipora is Begimetria Limoshe, that she belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu. But this was all the good side of Kayin. The bad side of Kayin alone came back in all its evil, reincarnated, reborn in Gilgal, in this Mitzri, this Egyptian. This Egyptian had all this evil of Kayin, only the evil part, and therefore he repeated his act. He came to this Jew, and it says, Babayis Ubasoda. Why did the Egyptians strike the Jew? Let's go back without what the Gemara itself tells us, the Midrash says. What was the battle between the Egyptian and the Jew? The Egyptian first came to the house of the Jew, Babayis. He came to the Jew's house. He saw that the Jew was working in the field as a slave for Paro. He came to his house, saw his wife was alone. He attacked his wife. Basode, he came back in order to stop her husband from taking revenge. He tried to kill her husband. Babayis, first the wife, and then the husband. Exactly a repetition of the act of Kayin. First to steal the wife of Hevel, then go out and kill Hevel. And now, this was Kayin. The time had come for Hevel to turn about and to destroy Kayin. That's why. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had his opportunity to correct that act that took place so long ago between these same two. So this was actually Hevel, in turn, wiping out the evil of Cain. This is the simple part. That's why Rizal says that when the Pasuk says he saw a Mitzri, Makke Ivri Me'achov, Me'achov, Me'achiv, he saw a Mitzri, Me'achiv. This Mitzri was from his brother. This Mitzri came from his brother Cain, striking a Jew. And therefore he struck him with this Shem, Tovchav He, and Mitmeneu Bachoil, he hit him in the sand. He killed him with this Shem, hit him in the sand. Now, to bury an Egyptian, that's not the work of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says that how does a tzaddik kill? He looks at the one he wants to kill, and with his looks alone he can slay him. Moshe Rabbeinu said this Shem, looked at this Egyptian, and what happened to him? He turned to dust. Good Jew turns to dust. Egyptian turns to sand. Mitmeneu, he hid the body, Bachoil, automatically, because he became sand. He turned to dust. So there was no necessity to bury him in sand or in dust. He simply transformed, go back to dust, to sand as you are. Why is Schoil worse than dust? Because Schoil is in the sense of Chul, the opposite of Kodesh. He turned into sand, or Chul, to something of Tumor, as was fit for him to return to. Now very briefly, it is only fitting that though we have told this story before, we repeat it again now because this is the most opportune moment for it. Story of Rabbi Akiva, one of the most touching stories in history. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was so great, he reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had 24,000 students. As we said, the 24,000 students were not cooperative. They were very great rabbis, great tzaddikim, but there was no unity amongst themselves. A disease, diphtheria, wiped them all out. They all died. The world seemed to have disintegrated, gone under, until Rabbi Akiva acquired five new students. These five were the nucleus for an entire future of Torah for the Jews, because these five were greater than all 24,000 before. Among these five were Rabbi Shimon Yechoizal, the mayor, the other three. After this, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva took upon himself that long story about the 10 rabbis who died for the sake of their religion. Rabbi Akiva was one of the 10. He died through torture. He was one who was taken by the Roman king, placed in front of his students, let the students suffer the sight of seeing their rabbi die in torture. And with metal combs, they combed his flesh, ripped his flesh from his body. He stood there. Now the Gemara tells us, this is the Gemara. We'll quote the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says that at that time, he was standing and he was saying the Kriya Shema. Reading the Kriya Shema, while they were combing his skin. That is excruciating. Not skin, but flesh, ripping his flesh. And his students stood by and watched. They were crying, watching him suffer without an outcry, concentrating on Kriya Shema. And they couldn't hold back anymore. They said to him, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, Rabbeinu, our rabbi, the greatest rabbi in the world that ever lived in the universe, equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why they said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, how much more can you take without even crying out? Ad Kan means till here. And Akiva answered, very simple. He said, all my life, I said the Kriya Shema, where it says, Bechol, you should love Hashem, serve Hashem, the whole of Avocha with your whole heart, or the whole Nafshecha with your life. I hoped and prayed for the opportunity to serve Hashem with my life. I looked forward to it. Now that I have the opportunity, now that it's in my power, I should not fulfill this happily. How can I cry? I'm happy. I'm able to give my life for the sake of Hashem. And the Gemara says he continued on and on until they reached a place of the head tefillin on his head, and then he cried out in one word and his soul departed. The word he cried out was Echad. He finished Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena Hashem, Echad. At the word Echad, his soul departed. And a voice came from heaven and said, Ashrecha, Rabbi Akiva is so great that he is risen above, way above any other tzaddik. And here, of course, the Mefashet, the Kuni Zayar, asked the question, two questions that really perplex us. One, the students asked Rabbi Akiva, how much can you take? And their question was, Ad kan, till here. What's till here? What kind of word is till here? You say, how much? Or phrase it correctly, why do they say till here? What does till here mean? Secondly, Rabbi Akiva said, all my life I wanted to get this mitzvah. Now that's beyond the now it's in my power to do it, I shouldn't do it happily. Who says it's in his power? It was being done to him against his will, by force. It was the power of the king and his soldiers that was doing it. Why did he say it's in my power? Did he have anything to say about it? Did he have any alternative? The answer is that we answer this with a much greater question. Very unusual item. If we note the wording of the Gemara, it says that it starts with the words Rabbi Akiva was saying Kriya Shema, right? He's saying, we say Kriya Shema every day. We know what Kriya Shema is. And then we have a long conversation. His students asked him, and he replied to them. A long conversation and a long subsequent act of combing his flesh. And then finally, his soul departed. Where? Echod. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. The end of the first line. We know what Kriya Shema is. There's after that you have your Haftov, your Shemaya. You have a long Kriya Shema. So all this time he had time to say just till the word Echod. What happened to the rest of Kriya Shema? If you say Kriya Shema, get it over with. Say it before you pass away. The answer then is that Rabbi Akiva knew. Rabbi Akiva said, it's in my power because I know the secret word. I know the word Hashem, the name of Hashem, Tav Chav Hei. It's in my power because if I want, I can say that word, I can destroy the Roman king and all his legions in a moment. I have that power to do it. But now that it's in my power to do it or not to do it, why should I? I have a chance to fulfill the mitzvah of serving Hashem with my life. Therefore, he said, I must be careful not to go ahead because I know where this secret name is in the Kriya Shema. The Ahavta you should love, Eis Hashem Elokecha. Eis Hashem Elokecha is the last letters are Tof Chaf Hey. So if I would say the next line after Shema Yisrael, they'd be wiped out. Want to or not, if I say these words, the power that I have as a tzaddik will erase all these enemies. Therefore, it says, Hoyamarich. He lengthened, he dragged out his saying the Kriya Shema, the Shema Yisrael. He got just till Echod and no further, till he passed away with the word Echod. And this was why he held out. This was the Kedusha of Rabbi Akiva. This answers all the questions about Rabbi Akiva. And of course, as we mentioned previously, times before, Rabbi Akiva had risen to a status that was so great that it was equivalent in Chachma to Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, he was zeched too that his student after him, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, was able to reveal that which he could not. Rabbi Akiva was not able to reveal the secrets of the Zayin HaKodesh. The Arizal says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal wrote the Zohar with all the secrets. Does that mean that Rabbi Akiva didn't know these things? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal knew it and he didn't. The answer, of course, is naturally, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal learned this from Rabbi Akiva. So why didn't Rabbi Akiva write the Zohar HaKodesh? If he had all this information, why didn't he take it for himself? He should be the author of the Zohar HaKodesh, reveal all these heavenly secrets that are found in the Zohar HaKodesh. The answer is, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal says himself, Rabbi Akiva was greater, but the rabbi himself, the tzaddik himself, does not have power within himself only. It is the students that he has that empower him to give of himself. Otherwise, it remains locked within him. Rabbi Akiva did not have that kind of a student body. He had the 24,000 students where he could have elevated them to a point of glory unmatched in the future. But they themselves spoiled it because there was no unity among themselves As holy as they were, they obeyed every mitzvah of the Torah. They gave Rabbi Akiva, their Rebbe, the greatest possible honor, reverence conceivable. But among themselves, there was this disunity, this harmony, petty jealousies that destroyed them. Because they were that great, they had to pay the extreme penalty. They were all wiped out with this plague. Rabbi Akiva was not zechut to have students who could bring him to a point where he could deliver the secret knowledge that was stored up within him. Rabbi Shimei Choizel told his students, when he got them together, he said, our success depends upon the ahava, the love, and the unity among ourselves. There must be this mutual consideration, this mutual compassion one for another, that is so great that we will feel that the person next to us deserves more than ourselves at all times. More means not that I will share my bread with him, not that I will give him my money, but that I will not be jealous if I see that he rises to a higher status than I do. And that's the greatest point of Ahava and Achva. If fellow students can see each other, one sees the other is advancing to a higher status. He's got higher marks, say in elementary, has higher marks in the class. Or he sees that this student learns Talmud, Gemara, better. He has a better head. Or he sees that he struggles more. He sees that he is more sincere, more sincerity in religion. But he is not jealous of him within. But he is happy about the fact that I'm very happy to see that here's a fellow Jew who is serving Hashem even better than I am. I will strive to improve myself too. But I am not jealous because this fellow Jew who is serving Hashem, my friend, is actually serving Hashem. It is an honor to Hashem. Why should I be jealous of something that causes honor to Hashem? This is the ultimate the goal in Achva, in unity, in harmony. And this is what the Shimei Choizal taught his Talmidim. Whenever they came to him, they were troubled about a certain problem, a question they had. He told them, as you walk in, I greet you as my beloved children. Not just beloved to me, but beloved to each other. There is true achva among you. There is true brotherliness. And that was the secret of Rav Shimei Choizal's success. That is why he was able to come forth with a sefer that was so powerful. Zohar is means light, the Aramaic word for light. Zohar, of course, is that light. We say that Hashem saw the light that was good the first day. And the Gemara says the light was so good that Hashem hid that light. The Gemara says, where did Hashem hide that light? Es-so'er bat-teira. Es-so'er b'gimatia bat-teira. He hid the light in the teira. Where did he hide that light? The Zohar. Zohar means light. The Zohar HaKodesh is the light that he hid, only to be revealed so many generations later through Rabbi Shimei Yechoizel. Why? Because of the fact that there was this unity is Ahwa. And that's the lesson for us. We should be Zohar throughout. If we are a small group or a large group, numbers do not impress Hashem. It's the way it is conducted. There should be this very strong, powerful unity, this unselfishness. If you see someone needs assistance of any kind, physical, material, monetary, spiritual, give of that, give of yourself unselfishly and readily. When you need this assistance, you'll get it back in return. But there must be this one solid, unified spirit prevalent, resting over a group. And it is that group, the Gemara says, that when Hashem sees that there is unity among Jews, not among the whole Jewish nation, the whole people, because that's practically impossible. If he sees even one single group has true, perfect unity, then Hashem says the time has come for Mashiach to come. They themselves have merited, they have earned the right to call upon heaven to send Mashiach to redeem, take all the Jews out of exile, this one single group alone. And there's a chus, all Jews can be redeemed. And that's why I say, let us try. Everyone should try, of course, we personally should try that. Our group, we should have this true Ava, V'Achla, V'Achdus, in the chus of Rabbeinu Zal. We should be zechut together to witness the coming of Mashiach. Peter's called Sedek, Simcha Claudius, Amen, be Amen.